So when we started the Dream of Nations, where we're going to do this by lot, I shared in the last service, Cammy was walking down the front aisle. I said, Cammy didn't want to really tell anybody her nation because then she'd be responsible for whatever happens in it. So go ahead, tell what happened.
So, you know, I was one of the people that Norco was trying to encourage on the video that you just feel like, oh gosh, if something goes wrong, it's all going to be my fault because I didn't do something and I don't want anybody to know who I chose because the next thing I know, they're going to have a tsunami and an earthquake and a tornado and terrorism and a political uprising and, you know, on and on and on and, you know, the weight, you know, the Atlas weight of the world, you know, of course, is on me. So I sit down and Steve had just released this big word about, you know, the lots being cast and every decision being from the Lord. And, you know, faith is built that the lots cast. And so I had even been back in children's ministry and came over here and I just grab out and it's, of course, finally, let me just back up. I had resolved in my own heart that I'm going to have a nice, like, little nation that I'm going to rock in my arms and sing to and, you know, and nobody's going to know about this nation anyway, so I'm going to be fine. So I pull out United States of America, and I'm just like, oh. And, exactly, yeah. Miss, you know, powerful, yeah. So I go home and I'm like, you know. And Steve's like, well, couldn't you just take it as a free pass, you know? You already pray for the United States anyways. And I'm like, I can't, because first off, we've had these matriarchs pass recently, and I've been going around telling everybody that mantles are going to fall. Things that they were carrying were going to fall on us. And it was like I just felt that weight. But I want to really encourage you, because I went to the Lord, and I was like, gosh, you know, I have had a long-term prayer assignment for the United States, but I felt like it was a way of God saying, I want you to take a new look at how I'm asking you to pray. It's different. It's not that you've been wrong in the past or what you've done is wrong. It's not anything like that. It's just every time God moves, he reveals a new aspect of himself. He says, you know, he gives us a new name to call him. And so I was listening to Steve's Builders series, which I want to encourage you also to listen to, because I almost feel like it was something that just should have been taught now, not in the time period that it was taught. And you can find it online. But anyway, so number three, even if you're really busy and you don't have time to listen to things, the third, number three, is really, really a lot of instruction about praying for nations in a different way. He gets into this little part about Nehemiah, consulting within himself and talking about that being taking your heart into the throne room. And see, God's asking us, take these nations into the throne room, and I'll show you, I'll speak to you what to do. And it is going to be a fun experience, because that those chapters, then if you go into that Jeremiah 33 that you were in, talks about God, all the good that he intends to do for the nations. And when the neighbors see it, they'll tremble at the goodness of God that he's doing. And he talks in there about how, I know he's talking about Israel, and we're very specific here. We understand that Israel first, then the rest of the nations. But he talks about, can you break my covenant of day and night? And we all know, no, we can't. None of us can. So how much more is he not going to break that covenant that he has with Israel? But if it's with Israel, then we take hope because he's not going to break a covenant with us either or with a nation that he has. So I just want to speak encouragement to any of you that would be like me, and it's just like kind of thinking like, well, I don't really, you know, because my other flip-flop side is I don't really have time to do anything else. I've got so many problems of my own to take care of, and they're disqualifying me from doing anything more than what I already do, so don't even ask me to do that, and, you know, you can kind of fall in there, and but God is called an assignment forth. We've been talking about prayer for reigning prayer for a long time. Even back when you were teaching, Steve, you were talking about reigning prayer, and I'm thinking, gosh, did we even discuss that far back? I don't. We must have been. But it's like now he's giving revelation as to how that's going to look.
Wow. Thank you.
Can I just say this too? You know, there is a really weird thing about God, and I'm always like complain to him. When he wants to help you, he asks you for something that belongs to you, that he can have it because he wants to multiply it. And for, you know, usually that's our ashes for beauty or our little lunch that he's going to feed thousands with. So I believe in a roundabout way, he's getting ready to do something in the body for the body, but he's saying, I would like to have your heart and your prayer and your mouth and your attention so that I can take it and I can do much more with it than what you thought could be done.
Whoa, that's good. Thank you. Yay. Yay. I got Guinea-Bissau. I didn't even know where it was. I had the opposite experience, but I've fallen in love with my little nation in West Africa. So, may Jesus be glorified. Cammy, that was powerful. We're going to go to Luke chapter 3. I got a really good word that God told. Oh, yes, pass the nations. Thank you. If you did not receive a nation and you can pull, we're going to pass the buckets. Just put your hand in, grab one. Don't look, don't fish. Just pull one out. And And then we'll pass the clipboard behind you so that you can write your name and your email and the name of your nation. And if you're online and you haven't received a nation, all you have to do is send us an email to jubilee@jubileechurch.org. Say, I want a nation. We'll have somebody on the staff pull it up, and then Rosie Bates will send it off to you, and it'll be your nation. So the reason we use the lot is that way we are not limiting to what we know or what we want. We're limiting to what God knows and what he wants, which is going to, I've heard stories already, crazy. A couple got two nondescript nations in Africa, but they're neighbors. Neighbor. So talk about marriages that are going to happen. Someone else received a nation that they was talking to a friend and said, oh, I have a long-term friend. I've been a prayer partner who lives in that nation in South Africa. So now they're contacting. So who knows what's going to come out of this journey? So let's just do it. And God will do something with what he chooses. Okay. This is Luke chapter 3, 21 and 22. Rachel, and then we're going to jump up to Luke 4. Whatever God does to heal a home, he does by healing a heart. Whatever he does to heal a heart, he can heal a home. Whatever he does to a neighborhood, from a heart, he can heal a nation. It's the same principle of salvation. It works to an individual, works to a family, works into a neighborhood, works for a nation. Simply this, Jesus Christ is the full provision for salvation, healing, deliverance, whatever and everything, every need is this receiving Jesus. How we today can receive him is we hear the word of truth, which becomes for us the gospel of our salvation. Holy Spirit comes to affirm that what we've heard is indeed true and for us. And then that faith in Christ, he comes and seals us. So you have Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit, and you have truth. Jesus, Spirit, truth. Jesus is the one we're growing up into. He's where life comes from. Everything, anything we need from, I don't know where I put my wallet, Jesus knows. And knowing, growing in him, in that dependency, is the maturing process of the church. Spirit and truth are the gifts that function to support us in the struggles that will come against us. And the rest of us are the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is to be loved lavishly. Loved, loved, loved. But we can't love until we've been loved. We have to be constantly being loved by Jesus in order to love each other. I said at the end of the first service, it was almost like shocking, but it was actually true, is I don't love you. And everybody got, oh, nor do you love me. Nobody, because if the truth, what we're saying is, I can't originate love. I'm not the source of love. Isn't it true in scriptures that says we love because he first loved us? Did not Jesus command us to love as I have loved you? So when I am loved by Jesus, then I can love like Jesus. But I can't love like Jesus from myself. I will use my will. I'll use my emotion. Someone will shame me. Someone, I will want to reach to that height. I'll try to become that. But I will basically resource from me. And have you ever tried to be really nice for a long time? You know what happens at the end, right? You just get mad and you're disgusted and I'll have nothing of it because you can't resource it. In the motivational gifts or that kind of have us function, Romans 12, it talks about, I have this motivation of a prophet and Cammy has a motivation of mercy. The charge to the prophet is that you have to prophesy according to the proportion of your faith. So you have to keep this faith factor is really important. But to the mercy shower, you have to show mercy cheerfully. Because Cammy's directive, the way she just walks through life is she just floods mercy wherever she goes. And everybody picks up on it from the grocery clerk to, you know, to the physical therapist. They'll just go and, oh, I just want, you know, and then they start pouring out their life. And Cammy just goes, yeah, 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 I got it, I got it, I get it, and I understand it. And she can connect us all to that journey. But that gift can be just drained. So her God's admonition is keep yourself happy. You got to stay cheerful in me so that I can, that mercy comes from me and not from you. I have to stay in faith in Christ so that my prophetic seeing of hearts isn't just seen into the darkness of people, but into the light of Christ and his victory. You see, it's a connecting, it's a responsibility to steward what we've been given always in Christ, connected to him, spirit and truth. And then whatever we receive, we go give away. So the direction is I don't come to church to get my needs met. I go to Jesus to get my needs met. I come to church to give something away to somebody. Think about that. Wouldn't that change the world? I don't go to wherever I go so someone will love me. I go to Jesus so he'll love me. I don't go to my husband or my wife or my parents or my anybody and say, I need you to take care of me. I go to Jesus and say, take care of me. And then I go and give away what he's giving me. It is the maturing of the church. It's going to be radical. So here's the good news tonight. We started in Luke 3 tonight, tomorrow, yesterday. I'm sorry. During worship, God said, I need you to back up before you tell the good news. And I said, okay. So here, let me back up. Here we are. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven and said, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. When the Lord said back up, he said, I want to bring a number of encounters, realignments within the body this morning so that we can just, so that the story I want to give them, everyone will be kind of in place to start into that story. So here's the cool thing, and we're going to do this, is Jesus follows a water baptism, dedication, steps into the current mode. But while he's praying, heaven opens, Holy Spirit descends like a dove, Father speaks. And because this account in Luke directed us toward Jesus having a prayer encounter, not like Matthew or Mark that just made a statement of the king advancing. Because Jesus is praying, the Father says, this is my beloved Son. You are. You are. The most important thing we can ever hear is God speak to us. You are. So for a while I've learned to put it in some of my own terms. I love to say, I am greatly loved. I bring much pleasure to my Father. I'm greatly loved and a highly favored son, and I bring much pleasure to my Father. I'm a well-loved son. Whatever way I can turn that so that this is where I begin and this is where the war is going to be over. So let's all stand up. We're going to have a baptism. Ready for a baptism? This is the Father going to affirm us. So if you will just close your eyes and open your heart to hear the Father say to you, you are my beloved son, and I am well pleased. And again, first service says that's because we're in Christ, so he can say that no matter what state we currently happen to be in our own working outs. But so say it to yourself. I am a beloved son. And I bring much pleasure to my Father. I am highly favored. I am a son in whom he delights. I am blessed, filled with the Spirit. Even now, fill me afresh. Holy Spirit, come upon me. Fill me in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you can be seated. Now it's, yeah. We need that. Luke 4. Now we jump ahead. Jump over the genealogy. And there's a lot of, this is a pattern all of us will walk through. And the Holy Spirit Luke 4, verse 1. I can find it. Okay. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Okay, is that not working? Yes, kind of, sort of? Okay. Good. Well, I don't see the next verse. Yes, no, kind of? Maybe so? Okay, now it is. No, you got it. All right, we got it. All right. So, being filled with the Holy Spirit, he's led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. I have good news, and God wants to just say, really, grow up time. Don't fight this anymore. Quit fighting going through testing. Just go through it and get it over with. I have been the great escape artist. I see a test coming, I go the opposite direction. I know the wise and not prudent hide themselves from evil, but there's some stuff God just says, I'd rather you just walk through it and find me in the midst of it. And unfortunately, when the Holy Spirit fills you, the next thing he does, he leads you. And when he leads you, he is not afraid of our adversary. And he will give us the opportunity to meet where we need to be tested in order to prove what we've been given in Christ by holding fast to the word so we can come into a glory counter. And if we back out of where we're in, if we back out, then we just have to go back through. So let's all say we're going through. We're not living in the valley of the shadow of death. We're going through. So being tempted then for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterwards when they had ended, he was hungry, and the devil said to him. First off, let me tell you this. Holy Spirit does not leave during this. Just because we don't hear him coaching Jesus, he never leaves Jesus from the day he fell upon him. He led him into the encounter, and he's standing there. But when it comes to getting through a test, the presence of the Holy Spirit present is powerful. But the authority now comes through the word. Very important. So the devil says, if you're the Son of God, command the stone to become bread. I need you to use your resource to resource yourself. The devil taking, he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth, the word of God. The power to the all we have to, what we have to do to break through a test is get the word of God to decree the outcome. And then to declare it with our mouth and say it is written. It's not me saying this, it's the Bible says this. The Bible says I'm not supposed to be concerned about my immediate needs that I need. I need to eat. I need to rather value that the words that God speaks is the food that I need to eat. Do you see how but he uses the Bible. Then the devil takes him into a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for it's been delivered to me. And that is true. And I will give it to whomever I wish. Verse 7. Therefore, if you will worship before me, it will be yours. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. So this Jesus is using again the word. Satan is saying, hey, why don't you use worship to build a kingdom for yourself? We all have the power of worship, and worship will unlock kingdoms. Sometimes we use them to unlock our own kingdom versus to recognize that all that is required is that we worship God and serve him. It's a fascinating story. I mean, Satan, Lucifer was the worshiping angel. He got in a lot of trouble. You get that kind of trafficking going, you can soon begin to become mixed up in whose it is and where it came from and why it's there. And you start just shifting into its own entity. But again, how do you get out of it? It is written. Yeah. What's the identity? That God is the one I worship and he's the one I serve. My sonship comes in worship. My service comes for whatever he needs me to do. My sonship never changes, just matures. My job changes all the time. If I keep my identity from my worship, my affirmation, my gazing upon and believing in and trusting and experiencing, then my sonship will grow. If I see it in what I'm doing, sometimes I'll have a really bad feeling about myself. Because I don't know about you, but I've noticed life kind of goes like this. Right? So if you get me up here, I'm going, whoa, God loves me. Go down here, I go, where did everything happen? So I worship, God never changes and allows me to keep changing in the midst of the upheaval. So then he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written. Devil knows scriptures. He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you up, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Those temptations that Jesus went through are they find their origin in the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I can't take you through that story, but you could just simply by the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life. It's just all there. But in this moment, this one's huge because we all will get this pressure on us. Do something so God does something. Initiate God by doing something to force him to do something. Jump off the temple, he has to save you. And Jesus said, no, wait, I'm not the initiator. I don't tempt God. I don't try to push him. Recently, and part of this whole transformation moment we get to all walk into, the Lord's, I figured out God to me in a current description. God says to me, Steve, I've said a lot of beautiful things to you and to which I am faithful to do, and I'm good and I'm willing, and I've given you my promises, and I want you to worship me, and I want you to carry them to my presence and honor me and not release them. But don't tell me how to do it. He says, I want you to not be a nagging wife, a fearful wife that says, you've got to do it. Did you remember? Have you forgotten? I want you to honor me that I am actually faithful in everything I said. So I thought, well, Lord, that's impossible. It's impossible. to just give you all like that freedom to you will fulfill anytime you want and not have any pressure on me. He said, I didn't say you can't, that you cannot enjoy them. I just said, you can't tell me how to employ them here. So come up and be with me. Go explore Jeremiah 33. What does it feel like for healing to abound in every form and fashion? What does it look like for the exiles to return? Imagine, step into your imagination and thoughts of your heart and begin to explore. See, the hope factor, which is the one factor that we haven't talked about, because faith in Christ and love for the body, the hope is where we live from and live in while we wait for the outcome of the fulfillment and completion. That hope factor is really important. And the more we go through testing, the hope gets smaller and smaller and smaller. So it's manageable. We have small expectations. We only got one little prayer. And in this hour, we're one of the breakers is like with the nations. We're called to pray big prayers and anticipate God doing greater things. But that's the part, you just don't get it from looking around. You get it from looking up and entering in and having encounters. So you take a promise. It describes who Jesus is. You pray into his presence and you explore this promise in the presence of God. Behind the veil where Christ is, and you ask yourself simple questions. What would this look like? How will I feel? Let me see what you think about it, what you mean about it. If you're having trouble, it's like with the nation. If I don't, what's the destiny of my nation? Look at what's going wrong and reverse it. That's all the destiny is. What's the destiny of your life, my life? It's where you're warred over. It's where you're being fought over. It's where you're being pushed back and told you cannot, never will. That's your destiny. The devil is smarter than most of us because he has a sense of where we're headed. He understands when there's a deliverer, it's time to go kill all the babies. He knows when things are shifting, and we often get overwhelmed by his words of accusation, and we don't have the confidence to rise up and say, no, I'm doing a great work. I'm a part of a great moment. God is going to do a great thing because we're being hammered. And this is Jesus stepping in there and just saying, no, no, I'm not. But I'm not using my anointing or the Holy Spirit or my sonship or the last prophecy I just got. I'm using the Bible. Yeah. Hallelujah for the Bible. Somebody get it up there and kiss it. Yeah. Come on. I love the Bible. I love the Bible because when you get backed up, this is what will stop you from going any back up. Yes, Lord. Now, the devil had ended every temptation. He departed from him until an opportune time. Verse 15, 14. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and the news of him went throughout all the surrounding region. So he was filled with the Spirit. Led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. He goes through the testing, overcomes with the word of God. Now he comes back in the power. The reason we got to go through what we're going to go through is to have power. They have authority, to have glory. Because a promise starts an invitation into a journey. A journey begun into Christ will be met with obstacles, with opposition, with resistance. Therein patience rises, and we have to get joy, and we have to stay engaged, because on the other side of that testing will be glory. If you really were to follow the biblical patterns, where you're going to have the greatest authority is where you're put into the deepest prison. You don't have authority. You get a promise of victory, then you're going to get into a big battle. You get a promise of prosperity, you may be going broke for a bit. You're going to deliver nations, you may be serving in a prison. It's just the way it is because, listen, it isn't just that the devil wants to defeat you, but what good are you if you haven't been where you're going to free people from? If you didn't figure out how to get out of the problem through Jesus, then how are you going to release somebody out of the problem with Jesus? The with is the company. Let me show you Romans 8. We'll come back to right there in just a moment. Oh, Jesus, help me. Verse 14. Let's just see this in our life. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. We do not receive the spirit of bondage, slavery, again, to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. We just did that, right? We cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit, we're children of God. That is something that is so important to develop in your quiet time, the subjective recognition of the witness of the Spirit to say to you, that's true. You are. I affirm you. And all of us have that witness within. John says it's the anointing. He also says it is that anointing with the word of God and the atonement of Christ come along and they agree together. And we grow in that sound. So we're witness that we are this children of God. And if children, we're heirs. Settled because we're born into the kingdom. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. It's that huge union with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him. That we may also be glorified together. Now, suffering with Jesus simply means whatever is coming against me, I am unwilling to release Jesus because of it. I'm not going to deny Christ just because the word doesn't seem to be working. I'm not going to say that God is not good just because it's not good today. I'm going to stay connected to Jesus. He's the one, the testing's coming for the word, try to get it out of my heart. Jesus is the one who gave me the word, so we're going to stay in agreement. The word's going to stay within, and we're just going to walk this way. Why? So that we may be glorified together. See that mount of temptation? Jesus made it. We're going to make it. Tell your neighbor, you're going to make it out of your test. You're going to come out of your test. You're going to make it. Everybody online, you're going to make it out of your test. You're not living there. You're passing through. Then it says, for I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Romans 5 tells us that we have a hope of glory, but before the glory shows up, we're going to get tested. Then the testing is going to bring patience. Then patience is going to bring us an experience that God is faithful. And the experience that God is faithful is going to cause hope to come alive. Not the hope that's like, it looks favorable. I think we'll go take a sail. It's the hope that says, because God is good, because his love is poured in my heart, I know he won't stop. Yeah. That's the kind of a glory authority that comes. For I consider the sufferings not worthy. The glory to be revealed, the earnest expectation of creation, all of the planet, waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation is subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, hope, because the creation will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That is so mind-boggling. You want to help the earth? Get free. Get whole, get healed, get delivered. Have a happy day in a bad day. Rise above when you're going under. Give Jesus credit for glorious outcomes when you're going into an awful situation. Just grow it up because this is the practice in which the empowerment comes, the authority comes. It's just New Testament. So let's stand up again because now we get this done and we get into the good news. Oh, woo, shaba, yikababa. Take a moment and consider where you're going, what you're going through. Don't avoid it. It could be financial pressure, emotion, relational. It could be physical, your body. It could be healing. It could be many things. And as you are, let the Lord, Holy Spirit, format, just speak some Bible words. And if you don't have a promise that would counter that affliction, then just find out of your own mouth words opposite of the affliction. So we'll say, in Jesus' name, I am going through and I will come out of this temptation with authority and power and in the glory of Christ. Because my God is good. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. And because I believe in Jesus, I overcome the world. My faith in Christ overcomes the world. And I will enter into the glorious liberty of the children of God. In Jesus' name. Now, before you leave this place, take a moment and look around. Whoa, It's a good place. You'll find victory and liberty before it shows up in the natural. So let these moments that your Holy Spirit witness re-imprint himself so it keeps us strong in the next test. Whew. Whew. Whoa. Thank you, Jesus. Whoa. No, you may be seated. Lord, you said to me, the next test is worse. You know why? Because you're trying to convince somebody else that you've changed. Hardest thing you'll ever have to do is to become a new person when nobody else believes you can be. That's a big test. So it says back, we're back in Luke, Rachel. Luke 4, next verse that we were in, which would be that his fame starts spreading. Everybody's finding out about this powerful anointing. See, he got a victory so he can bring a victory. He got a breakthrough, so he is a breakthrough. Whatever you receive of Jesus, you carry with Jesus. So we're looking in Luke 4, and we're looking at Luke 4, verse 14. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and the news of him went out throughout the whole surrounding region, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he's having now a beginning to have a fruitful, vibrant ministry. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Recently, have you remember me saying, where are you in the Bible? Where are you in the Bible? Where are you living currently in Scripture that you're finding identity and promise and see, Jesus knew, I know where I am in the Bible. I was given the book Isaiah, but I know where in Isaiah I want to go to. See, he found the place. There's something about carrying a internal knowing from Scripture where who I am, what I'm being called to do, that you then that's where you launch what you're going to do with the authority of the Scripture. So he opens the book. He finds where it's written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Verse 20. And then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Whew. He stepped into his identity. He stepped into his calling. He stepped into with the power of the Holy Spirit. He was ready to perform. He said, it's here. I'm here. Scripture's here. I'm here. All bore witness to him. And marveled at the gracious words that preceded, because he began to teach. It says he began to teach. He began to expand on that. And they marveled at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? See, the future is always in front of us, not behind us. The change that we're entering into is in front of us, not behind us. And you cannot reference the past to go to the future. In Paul's maturity, summation of his journey in life was that I'm pressing to touch that resurrection life. Now, I haven't attained yet, and I'm not perfected, but I press on that to lay hold of that which Christ Jesus laid hold of me for. Brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I reach forward to those things which are ahead, to press toward the mark of the upward or the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So Paul's saying, if I remember yesterday, I don't get to live tomorrow. It's just a repeat every day. I let go of what happened so I can press toward what's coming. And what's coming is an upward call. It's up. It's always better. Backslide for 20 years, come back to Jesus, bam, it's better than it was when you left. I don't say you ought to do that because you'll have a miserable 20 years. Bumps and bruises, scars, and wishes you hadn't. But as far as God's concerned, here I am, and here you are. Let's go. And so can you think about if we can just start letting go? My betrayals, my hurts, my wounds, the things that have happened and stopped me from going forward. And I just go, hey, I'm in. Yeah. And this is what he's doing. He's going, they're going, this is something else. But then they go, wait, this is Joseph's son. This is wonderful. No, this is Joseph's son. I wrote this down, and it's let me find it, because I think it's a blessing. What was offensive about Jesus reading and then decreeing? Because he made it all about him. Submission to the completion through Christ. Not our ability, our righteousness, or our opinion. He's waiting until every knee bows, every tongue confesses that he is Jesus, is both Lord and Christ. They, the church, staggered at the promises of God through unbelief. They separated the promises thoroughly being announced by Jesus through past experiences with Jesus. We know his father, his mother, et cetera, et cetera. They could have said, I'm in. I receive you. I welcome you. I bring all of me into all of Christ, and I receive all of Christ into all of me. Because you know someone yesterday does not mean you know them today. A great experience with God leads us to a great surrender in God as we hear his voice over our circumstances, not demanding that they change, yet unwilling to let go of his words as truth. This is how being filled with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, into being led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, same as in Romans 8, we share the sufferings of Christ to become joint heirs with Christ in glory, is for us the same, to be led, to be filled, to be led, and then to return or turning under in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to help you. And declaring that this scripture supplied, fulfilled here, now, in your hearing. Filled, led, tested, empowered, scriptures fulfilled in your hearing. Help has arrived. That is our destiny. Each of us to carry that confidence that the scripture is now being fulfilled in your hearing. Here am I in Christ. I have experienced Christ in this situation, so I know that Christ is here for you in the same circumstance. And notice what the word of the Lord was to the church that Jesus grew up in. I'm coming here to deal with the issues that you've gone through. I want to heal some broken hearts. I want to give some good news to the people that are impoverished in spirit, have no sense of a future. I want to release captivity. I want to bring freedom and forgiveness to anyone and everyone. What is the broken heart is like this shattered, scattered places. The bruised is this thing that has been crushed. Open your eyes to see. I want to proclaim the year of Jubilee, the freedom. Everything's returning to what Christ has ordained it to be. And they could have said, yeah. But instead they went, like a good Englishman. I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be that way when you come into your breakthrough. I want to be ready to receive the breakthrough you receive for me too. I don't want it to be that with each other. And I certainly don't want it to be when Jesus appears to me in my prayer time and says, hey, it's over now. We're in a new season. Believe me. Rise up. Run. I want to be able to just let go of every day behind me and step into the new day in front of me. In Christ, his provision being true, and have that childlike, oh, it's now. I learned that if I take what I'm hearing and experience it in Christ, the experience in Christ will shift where I am, first inside of my heart, and then later it'll change the world around me. But until it changes the world in me, I don't have power to the world out of me. Isn't that the liberty of the children of God? The glorious liberty of the children of God will eventually free the planet. Planet. Stop the tidal wave, stop the tsunami, stop all these crazy earthquakes. The earth just, the earth's kind of saying, guys, if you're not going to do anything, I am. Wake up and rise up. But you, again, each of us, where's the victory? Up on that mountain or through that test, all by yourself. Nobody's with you except the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And you're sitting there going, why am I here? That's the first thing that would get us in trouble. What did I do wrong? But it was the Spirit that led you into this moment. And this Word of God is what's going to get you out of it. Holy Spirit gets you in the problem. Word gets you out of it. It's kind of a funny dance. And as you come out of it, you come in more power of the Holy Spirit. Because now whatever you gained in prayer and victory for yourself in Christ, you can give away to someone else. And you can start talking to people and say, hey, Jesus is more than enough. His word is more than enough. We're going to get through this thing, and it's going to be glorious. And after we start releasing ourselves in Christ and victory, others become free. Neighborhoods can be free. Nations can be free. And planet Earth can get free. So you ready for the last installment? Let's stand together. This is the good one. Whoa. It's not your job to convince your neighbors that you're anointed. It's not your job to convince them to believe that what God is saying to you is indeed true, though he will ask you to announce it. He will ask you to announce your agreement with Scripture so that others can agree with Scripture and receive what you carry. So it is important for us to know where it is written. So I'm going to pray God grant each of us, by the Spirit of God, remembrance to what God has spoken over us, to which we've been tested in. Not what we have, not just the revelation we got last night, the stuff that hit us years ago that sent us into prison. That dream. Hey, brothers, mom and dad, guess what? I'm going to be the deliverer of the world. You're all going to bow at me. That thing. That sound that then got you so thrown into slavery and prison and false accusation. But now God's saying, time. Holy Spirit, we ask you right now. You know the journey of every life because you're the one leading us. From the day we said, yes, Christ, we became loved sons. The day we became filled with the Spirit, we began a journey of overcoming. The day we began to encounter opposition, it was the day we were to get a hold of Scripture that was given to us to war with, prophecies and things like that. I ask you now, Holy Spirit, because you know our life, and we would look at our life. I look at mine, and I go, oh, gosh, am I a slow learner? Such a slow learner, such a baby. And all about me all the time. But Lord, I thank you for the places you would help us by your Spirit pointing out, this is what I showed you. This is how you saw it. This is what happened instead. This is where you got stuck. And this is how you began to walk out. Or here's how to walk out. Here's the Scripture to reapply. The very one that got you in trouble is the one that will get you out of trouble. The reason you went into the test will be the reason you get out of the test. Just a season of maturing in that experience of God. Holy Spirit, will you come so deep inside each of us, but so relevant to where we are, who we are in Christ? This is where you, Holy Spirit, are that one who searches our hearts and minds and knows the plans and purposes of God and ready to take the place we're at and turn it for good and cause us to step into our calling, our sonship, our justification, glorification. Holy Spirit's coming. I feel him even brooding over some of us because we have been in a dark prison. Dark because the Word of God has lost its light. Not because we want it to, but just there's been such oppressions. And the Holy Spirit says, I'm going to shine again. I'm going to begin to let the little light of the word you've hid begin to shine in your heart. It'll shine in a fashion that will draw your attention, will awaken your hope, expectation, faith. And as it comes alive, I want to grow with you there. I want to bring you into the victory of this word before anybody recognizes it and before you even see it. For I'm going to undo what has been done to you. And I will open doors that no man can shut. I will take your broken heart and heal it and make it whole. I will open your eyes that no longer see with expectation and make them expectant again. I will take where you were bruised and mistreated and betrayed and make it a place of my dwelling, of beauty and joy and gladness again. I will turn what happened to you back into your inheritance. I will restore you into your inheritance that cannot be lost or forsaken, for it is my inheritance in you that I will restore to you. As I speak, and you are drawn to the words and return to the words that I've spoken, as you return to the words that I've spoken, you'll return to the power that I brought them with. And there'll come a place, as it did for my son, as it will for you, that in the season of testing, there'll be no more time for the test to continue. It won't affect you. You'll just go on. And you'll go into a new destiny. And from there, you have authority to begin to declare to people, I release you. For years, I had three words that I had to pray continually to try to hold my place in Jesus. I would say, Lord, I do not want to leave my sufferings until I have your glory. I do not want to leave prison until I have your authority. I forget the third one. They were life-saving for a while. So we'll work with this too. I have the authority in the name of Jesus because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news to you wherever you are, to rekindle hope, to declare that where you have been kept captive, where you've gone through sufferings and testings and trials, that you will come into empowerment and freedom and glory. So just I declare right now that this authority that you've given me through the testing that you've brought me through is now transferred to those who's here because they're coming out of their testing to a new authority, to a new releasing of those around them. I declare healing into broken homes, broken hearts, broken neighborhoods, broken nations. I declare restoration of visions and dreams to those who have lost their place and had to yield their place and surrender their thoughts in the old ways. I declare again now anew, where God recalibrates the truth like he did for Abraham, says, well, you saw it this way, you tried it that way, but here I speak and now I do. And their freedom flips. It's about God and his word, not you and what you heard. It's about God and his word, not you and what you heard. God knew what he said when he said what he said, and he's going to do what he do because he said what he said. Let it go. I release the Joseph anointing, the first fruit of freedom is Manasseh. God has caused me to forget my trials, my tests, my pain, my loss, my confusion. He's caused me to forget. I release from you. You are not marked by what you went through. You're marked by who you know. You're marked as a son. And you are not what you've been through. You are what you believe. Jesus is more to you now than he was when he started with you. And he is larger in you. He's greater in you. His words are more in you. I release you to rediscover, as I did, scriptures that I had given up because they were so painful to carry, now came alive as a fruitful future, even though the past had to be released from how I first walked through them. I give to you an awakening of scripture. And I give, whoa. Sha, 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 shoo, The second fruit of freedom, as Joseph found, was Ephraim, which is fruitful in the land of my affliction. I bless you right now. You do not need to get out of where you are. You need to take over where you are. You're going to make where you are. It's not just going to be your prison. It's going to become your headquarters, your palace. You're going to begin to release thousands and hundreds of people as you are released yourself by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. This is indeed your Ephraim. And Ephraim means fruitful. Manasseh meant forgetful. Forgetful was the firstborn. Manasseh, Ephraim, fruitful was the secondborn. The secondborn, the fruitful, will go bigger than the forgetfulness. Your fruitfulness will be larger than what you lost. You will have more than what you had to lose. You will see more than what you thought you would see. Liberty, liberty, liberty. I have authority to bring you liberty. Liberty, because it's the promise of my life and the beginning of my journey. So therefore, the imprisonment has been great. So the sound of liberty has authority. Right now comes the Holy Spirit, if you allow him, and he will create for you an encounter that will begin to overwhelm the prison cell. It will be like Peter sleeping and woken up by a bright light and a hit on the side and say, get up, let's get going. Vision, hope, joy, encounters, tongues, all of it breaking free, breaking out in your life, my life. Lord, I pray that as the words of truth are heard, the Spirit of truth now comes. And as we believe in you, Jesus, afresh, Holy Spirit, seal us there in that place in Christ to re-encounter and encounter and encounter and encounter until we become one with the sound. One with the Son, one with the victory. In the name of Jesus, 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 do this, Father. Seal us now and as we go forward today. Amen. Now, I'd like to just recommend tomorrow or later today, even whatever your time permits, but within the next 24 hours, 36 hours, go visit with Jesus here, where whatever's just happened, go revisit there and start a conversation again. And then the next day, do the same thing, because this kind of breakthrough is a deep one that takes, it's like you found a treasure so long ago and you saw it for its worth and value. And you knew, without knowing why, that that treasure, you couldn't just take it. It was a part of somebody's field. So you hid the treasure where you found it and went off to sell everything so you could buy the field. But during the course of the loss of everything to buy the field, you forgot where the treasure was. But you've bought the field. So now that the glimmerings and the hint and the directiveness, Holy Spirit saying, come, let's go discover the treasure again. You own the field. You paid the price. You've been through the prison time, the service. Now it's yours. And that's the flicker. That's why it would take a bit of time to just kind of go, maybe it's been 20 years. Maybe it's, 20 months. And it's kind of like you go deja vu, back and forth, in and out. But this is only to prompt me into there. And anything that wants to drag me, oh, it's impossible. No, I forget all that, and I go forward. That's the reason that Joseph had 2 years in prison before he had a chance to be free, where he settled letting go of the past so that he could then respond to the new. And then when he saw his brothers 10 years after that, then he goes, oh, this is that. This was the promise I saw when I was 13. So there, it's like, if I could teach you anything, it's having the fluidity of this hope. Hope has to stay very elastic and moving, because God is forever formatting. He's hovering and brooding over chaos. And all it takes is when God's appointed time, he says, light, power, Holy Spirit, word, bam. But in the meantime, we have the choice often of, do I wait for light or do I choose control? Do I want to control the chaos so I don't have to live in the chaos, or do I learn to live in the movement of the Spirit of God over chaos? He loves chaos. That's why he hangs out with us. Because he's, whoa, this is going to be so fun to release this whole company of people. I can't wait till I get the headquarters go with the word of the Lord coming out, and then bam. Meanwhile, each of us, we get to flow in that. And that's that thing. You bought the field. The treasure's yours. It's in Jesus Christ. But we have to grow the discovery. And that's done in the presence of the Lord. So I just bless you with in phenomenal moments in the heavens. Phenomenal moments in the heart where that little light of yours starts to flicker and come back alive. And then you go, whoa, where is that? And then from that, all of the promises start cascading. The forgetfulness starts taking over. Then comes the new fruitfulness. And next thing you know, planet Earth gets free. One day, right? All right, that's a little too far ahead, I know. Just get my life free and I'll be happy. All right, God bless you. Thank you.